the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to be here in this month of December, getting ready to wind down 2020, and some great news coming for 2021, which we will be sharing here in just a couple of seconds. But first, I want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense for being a part of this year and keeping us going on the air, all the knowledge and that they have shared with us and will continue to share momentarily. They've been a big part of us with the VS1 and running buck sense in a stick, plus all the other great products, which we'll be talking about as well in just a few minutes with Doug Roberts. I want to thank our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. Find them online. Direct link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and our friends at Not Just Guns, their Wednesday night auctions every Wednesday night. They've got a new pickup system, a new entry system going on because of this whole pandemic issue, and they've done some expanding, which we will talk to Mike Green about here very shortly. So we'll leave those mentions there and get ready to announce that the 25th through the 28th of March, Ultimate Fishing Show has been scheduled, pushed back a couple of months, but it's still going to be at the Suburban Collection Showplace. It's still going to be in Novi. It's still going to be Show Spam. We put a link up on our Facebook page for Wild Michigan, and that will be continuing to go on, hopefully as scheduled, the 25th through the 28th of March at the Suburban Collection Showplace. That is the Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit, usually about the same time that the Grand Rapids Show is going on, but they've had to move things back, and hopefully we'll keep that schedule and that date and keep following us as we will update our website and our Facebook page for that info. I'm going to join our friend right now, Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense in Davison, Michigan. Doug, welcome back, buddy. You've had a heck of a year.
We definitely have. It's good to be back, Duran.
Man, you guys have been crazy busy all year long. You know, we looked at what was happening from March on, and you know, we had a lot of shows canceled this year. We've had a lot of things that we are normally very used to doing, getting out, you know, shaking babies, kissing hands type things, showing product and everything else. But that has kind of come to a halt, but your business has not.
No, it hasn't. We've actually had our best year ever. You know, there's more hunters hunting now. More people are home. They're able to spend time out in the woods with their kids and their families, and they're taking advantage of that. And so they're buying more products, and so sales have been good. Reports have been good. We've had a lot of success issues and photos being sent back into us of successful hunters. So we're still pretty much wide open, going fast.
Well, and that's so good to hear, man. Because you know what, and the same thing, our friends down at Lucky Buck said the same thing, that you know, Dave Wheeler down there says, you know what, he's like, I can't advertise. It's not really making a lot of sense to do it, but we're having such a crazy year throughout the country with their product. Another product that we absolutely love, just don't talk about it here on the show. He's been crazy busy too, and it just really amazes me. But it is because of time that people have had extra at home and time to research and do more, you know, looking into the things they've always wanted to.
Absolutely. You know, so many people lost touch. And I've had a lot of people have talked to me and said, you know, I didn't realize I'd gotten so busy. I had to be at work, you know, working extra hours, you know, it's 5-6 days a week. And COVID in this sense was a true blessing to so many people that it slowed them down and it made them realize what they were missing. They were missing family time. They were missing, you know, kids time. They were missing time in the outer doors, you know, and a lot of them said, you know, man, I grew up hunting and I just kind of got away from it, you know, with work and, you know, in sports with the kids and all that stuff. Man, it's nice to get back out into the woods where it's peaceful and it's quiet. I didn't realize how it makes you feel and it re-energizes you. So as bad as this situation has been, there have been some true blessings for a lot of people. So
absolutely. You know, and this year, I mean, as weird as it's been, we had what I would consider probably a perfect storm for antler growth this year. I mean, it really looked weird at the beginning. I mean, it looked like it wasn't going to happen, but then all of a sudden, everything just turned on.
It did, and that, you know, we talked about that man, if things didn't change around in the spring, it wasn't going to be a good year for antler growth. And I would have to say it's probably one of the best years when it comes to weather and temperature and food supply that we have had probably in the last 10 years. And so we're seeing a lot of wonderful, wonderful bucks being harvested, good antler growth, great trail cams. You and I spoke earlier about how things kind of all of a sudden shut down, but the bucks are still there. And so it's been a wonderful year for quality of antler growth.
The Deer Professor, Doug Roberts, joining us here from Conquest Sense on Wild Michigan. Doug, earlier in the year, I talked to our good friend Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer, about the October lull, something we normally see where October deer hunting during the bow season is hot and heavy. Then it takes like this dip mid-October. We never saw that. As a matter of fact, we saw a lot of activity in that typically slow period of October, which I thought was quite weird.
Well, it's the last 2 years, the seasons have, I'm just going to say they've been off, and they're not off. It's that they're changing. But that lull for the last 2 years has actually happened the 1st of November. This year, I would say it actually happened in the 2nd and kind of the 3rd week. Right during gun season, the lull happened. You and I talked the last time about how the breeding season and the fawning season this past spring was really like 2 weeks later than normal. And now what we're seeing is the rut in the breeding season this fall seems to be 2 weeks later than what we normally would see. We're not only seeing that in the deer on the farm, but we're seeing that in the deer, you know, behind the farm, the wild deer outside the fence as well. So I'm just wondering if the seasons, the cycle has adjusted by a couple weeks. And of course, our hunting seasons haven't adjusted. They've stayed the same. So what people normally saw in the past, they're not seeing during those times that they've chosen. Like right now, the rut seems to be kind of on right now, which it should be a little bit of a lull in between the first and the second rut. So again, it seems like everything's shifted 2 weeks. I would give it pass. And so, yeah, October was a great, great month to hunt. It was busy all month. And then first of November came, and everyone was like, where'd all the deer go?
You know, it was funny because, you know, I posted a picture of a absolute monstrous deer. And I say it was huge to see something so big run past me while I was on my tractor vacuuming up the lawn. Okay. Coming through my backyard, and I think you saw the picture of how big-bodied this deer was and how wide of a spread and tall his tines were. I mean, to me, it looked like a 4.5-year-old deer, but, I mean, I live in an area that can be hunted.
Right. Yep, exactly. It's in you know, then where did that deer go? But that was actually a nice buck. When you send me that picture, I'm like, doggone it, man, hunt your backyard, dude.
I got a pretty narrow strip. It's long, but it's narrow, and unfortunately, it would have to like fall right there.
Well, yeah, that's where the neighbors always come in, and that's always can be an issue at times.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Michigan for overall has had a record-setting year for number of license sales, number of hunters, and people in the woods on the lakes, enjoying the outdoor recreation that Michigan offers. And we haven't seen this in, like I said, in probably 10, 12 years. And it doesn't look like it's going to slow down, of course, with the shutdowns and lockdowns and all of this. Who knows what 2021 is going to bring. But I think there's a lot of people that have gotten back into hunting and fishing and enjoying outdoors that are going to stay with it because they've realized what they missed. And as we get older, don't we all understand the value of certain things that we lost as growing up as kids? And once we get them back, we don't want to let them go.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts joining us here, Conquest Sense. Find them online. Find a link to their website on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Some great products right here in Davison, Michigan. We're going to talk more with Doug about Sense coming up next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, Back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, notjustguns.com, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Find them and get yourself in line. They got a cool new texting system, a lot like the restaurants have gone to, for you to get in line, stay warm in your car. And because of everything that's going on with this pandemic right now, you can social distance safely within the confines of Not Just Guns. They just got a whole bunch of new ammo in. They're expanding what they do there. And again, you can find them online, notjustguns.com, a link directly on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Back with the dear Professor Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. And Doug, I want to talk about like scent timing and scent qualities, because it's still a mystery to a lot of people. A lot of people use the same scent over and over and over again, which I can see with a synthetic that being consistent, but with a natural scent like a VS1 or an Evercalm, I mean, conceptually, the natural scent is all the same, but you're making it up with different, with parts of different deer, not direct parts, but byproducts of different deer. Correct.
Correct.
So I could see where there would be just like a change from batch to batch.
There can be, if there's a change in, now again, there's let's break this up into two parts. Let's talk about an estrus scent. An estrus scent, there isn't. They're either in heat and they have the pheromones and they're giving that scent off, or they're not. All mammals give off that same smell and that same type of pheromone when they're in heat, and we call it an estrus scent. So we can collect a group of does, and as long as they are all in heat at the same time, that scent will all smell the same. And so our VS1 estrus scent will be consistent from deer to deer, because that's what the bucks are looking for. Now, if you switch over to our Evercalm, that is all of the scents and smells from a group of deer's bedding area. Now, that can change based on what they're eating and what the environment allows them. You and I talked, I think it was a year ago when we had a drought and there was no moisture in the plants and the plants dried up. They still had to eat that, but it changed their actual poop structure. It changed the look of it. It changed the consistency of it. So those things then can change the smell. We smell like what we eat. Mm-hmm. If you and I were to just all of a sudden go on a pure, Mexican diet, our body would smell different. Our excretions would smell different than what we're eating now. Same thing with the deer. Their intake changes the smell of what comes out of them.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just regular deer smells. Now, with that being said, a group of deer from the north, even though they're eating something different than from the south, deer still understand they're deer. It's just different deer. They're unique deer. And so it creates curiosity that they want to find those new deer and see who they are, where do they fit in the pecking order. So even though it's not maybe the exact same smell, the curiosity and comfort and safety level is still there, and that's why Evercalm works so well everywhere across the U.S. and North America.
That is just, okay, so for some, self-included, sometimes it might be a little much, but I get it.
I was trying to simplify.
You did, but for somebody that's just joining us halfway through it, I'm sorry, but that was such good intel that you'll have to go to the podcast and pick it up, because that's why we do that, don't miss anything.
Let's talk about rutting buck. As a buck matures, his testosterone levels go up and his smell gets stronger. I mean, we've all smelled that tarsal gland smell. It gets musky, and the older the buck is, the stronger that gets. Well, that's also partly intimidation. It's putting my smell in this area, and this is my territory, and I'm the biggest and the baddest in this area. So when we actually are collecting our rutting buck and we get that, we're trying to use younger, more non-dominant bucks, because then all bucks in the wild are attracted to it. if we used the older bucks and really had that strong, super strong musky smell, we'd scare all the 1.5-year-olds, most of the 2-year-olds away, even probably some 3-year-olds. Now, if you went to Kansas and Iowa, where they're hunting the big bucks and they have a lot of mature bucks, the heavier stuff would work. You're not looking for the small stuff, but it would frustrate a lot of hunters in the state of Michigan that are seeing mostly 1.5 and 2.5-year-old bucks. It would scare them away. So, again, those smells are consistent, but yet it's the strength and the intimidation factor that we have to keep concerned with to make sure that that product works for all hunters, for all deer of all ages.
You know, my mind is going at 100 miles an hour right now, because that would be the way to have deer management without people knowing. That's me saying I'm just being smart. I'm just being a smart aleck right now. But you know, if you were to put something out that scared away all the 1.5, 2-year, 2.5-year-old bucks, we would have a nice deer management process. But again, that's just me joking. Don't everybody get all bent out of shape about I'm a meat hunter and that's it, okay? I'm joking. So
let's go one step further, Duran, and something else. And there's been a study done in the deer farming industry. And what we have found is that 1, 2, and 3-year-old does scientifically produce more buck fawns than doe fawns. Can't tell you why, it just happens. The study's been done over a large number of deer, over a large number of years. 4, 5, and older does produce more doe fawns.
Huh.
So if you want herd management, if you want to see more bucks produce less doe fawns or does that are reproducing, you need to call the upper older does out of your herd. You'll see more bucks. You'll have more antler growth in those bucks. There's less food supply. You slow the doe side down. That is the best management tool we could do. And I always hear people, those younger ones eat better. Well, you're killing off your buck supply is what you're doing. Not that 4, 5, 6, 7 and older does don't produce buck fawns, but they produce. It literally is about a 60-40, and then it switches to 40-60.
Wow.
That's a big difference.
It is a huge difference.
Yeah, and we never knew this until just this past year. This is all new stuff that we're seeing and happening. This is natural breeding. This isn't artificial. This is not us manipulating anything. This is what we're finding. So when you really, as a hunter, want to really manage your property or your area and your herd, you need to call out all the does 5 years old and older.
That's incredible.
And you will start seeing more buck fawns, more bucks at all ages. The number of deer will stay slower and more consistent, so you don't have to cull as often on the doe side. And everybody then has more of a food source and availability to it, which stay healthier, which maximize antler growth.
Mind blown. Seriously, that's that. You know what? With that just now hitting us, you know, and hopefully this resonates a little bit. You know, with somebody wanting to make that decision. There's a lot of things, a lot of factors that go into any decision we make when hunting. But, you know, now we are armed with a little bit more.
Yeah. So as hunters, you know, the DNR allows us to harvest does. We need to manage them properly and harvest the older ones out, call them out, let the younger ones take their place and do the job they need to do.
Doug Roberts, appreciate you joining us here from Conquest Sense, Davidson, Michigan. Definitely a link to all their great products on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Back with more here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you back again. Very happy to be here in this month of December. Winding down the deer season. We got the late deer season going on with muzzleloader and late bow season, all that late stuff going on. Also, some opportunities to hunt upland game birds. I tried to get our good friend Al Stewart, upland game bird specialist, on, but Al's busy. He's a busy dude, and he's looking at the long term coming up in 2021. So We'll talk more with Al about that, though. But there are some good upland game bird opportunities. Some late rough grouse, late pheasant season in Zone 3, which is great that we even have an extended pheasant season in lower Michigan. Very happy about that. And I want to talk a little bit about some winter steelhead fishing with David A. Rose, because you know what? A lot of times rivers aren't frozen over. We still have steelhead, Skamania, and the like in the rivers, but you know, there are some safe ways to go about doing that. But let's talk a little bit about the fishing first with David A. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's been happening with you?
It's been a year.
Yeah.
It's been a good year for you, which is good that I can see. And it's just been a year. It's been a weird year, like everybody else, for many different reasons. But, you know, we're still going. We have our health. We have the show. We have each other. You know, it's all perfect in my world.
Good. Good.
That said, perfection all the way. I want to talk a little bit about winter steelhead, because those opportunities are still there before the ice takes over on the lakes. That's something that a lot of people, I mean, may think about, but what do I need to do it? Let's talk about that. Let's, you know, because I want to talk about safety also.
Yeah. Well, you know, winter steelheading, it really kind of starts now. You know, deer season's kind of done with and whatnot, and the waters are cold. They may not be quite as frigid as they would, let's say, in January or something, but the waters are still icy cold. I mean, if that flowing water could freeze, it'd be very close to doing so. So hypothermia and all that kind of stuff can set in. So you just need a good pair of waders, number one. There's a lot of great companies out there making neoprene waders. Everything from 3 millimeters thick to five, obviously going to be a lot warmer. Boot foot waders versus stocking foot waders. That's the ones with the boots built right in, and instead of having to put on a wading shoe, that kind of thing. Those are going to keep you a little warmer. And of course, you know, the bare essentials, rod, reel, probably some kind of a vest or some kind of contraption to put your little bit of gear in. And it really doesn't take a lot of gear, just some hooks, some sinkers, maybe some spawn bags and some bait like wigglers or waxworms, small assortment of jigs, or maybe you like to cast hardware and do some spoons and spinners and whatnot. And, that's really about it. You know, a rod that's at least 9 feet long, light action is good this time of year because the water's cold, the water's slow. We can use a little lighter line and maybe some floats, you know, bobbers to keep your bait suspended off the bottom a little bit. So, I mean, it's a real basic kind of fishing.
Now, the one thing that people are, you know, because I'm going to backtrack a little bit because you didn't hear about this. A longtime friend, radio person, outdoorsman, Jamie McKibben from K105 in Jackson. He was the station owner of that station and one in Hillsdale, avid outdoorsman. The Jamie McKibben Outdoor Show was a big thing down there. Tragically passed away a few weeks ago down in Ohio. And I don't know the details. I don't know the particulars of it. All I know that he was found along with his hunting and fishing partner. And the boat at that time wasn't. And Lance and I had this hour conversation about safety and PFDs, about how small they become and how even they can self-inflate in 4 inches of water. Like Mustang, I know, is a very good company for putting out PFDs like that. And this is something that can be worn in the water because they're not intrusive. And safety is paramount because rocks can get slippery under that cold water. And if you're, you know, you've got a hard sole boot and you're on a slippery surface, it can get a little dangerous out there.
Yeah. Oh, it can. And you never know. I mean, cold morning, you're in your boat. Like, here's an example. Just a couple of weeks ago during the deer rifle season, buddy and I grabbed my 14-foot boat, which is a nice, stable, deep V boat. And we floated down a river for both to maybe see if we could kick up a buck or something that's hanging out, and because we were a lot of public land going through where we were floating. And we did a little steelhead fishing too, but it was cold in the morning. You know, it was below freezing. Getting in and out of the boat or whatever, you're going to get a little water in there, and it can get slippery. And it's not hard you know, as you're scooting around trying to maybe go from one seat to another, you know, from the rowing seat to whatever, you could slip and fall out very easily. And boy, when you hit that water, it's just like they talk about, you know, when you're ice fishing and you go through, I mean, it's a heart stopper, literally, yeah. When that water is that cold.
It is. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, and then, so when we floated, you know, I had my neoprene waders on because it was cold. And even though I wasn't wading, they kept me nice and warm. But I had, you know, I had my orange all donned and all that kind of stuff. But I also had a self-inflating inflatable life jacket. And you were talking about how you can wear these and you totally forget you're wearing them. And that's what's nice about them. And they do have, the self-inflatables, like we just said. You know, as soon as you fall in the water, they call it a cookie. There's a small little device in there. As soon as that gets wet, it opens up that cartridge and your life jacket immediately expands. It's like an airbag. But there are ones that don't do that, and you actually pull a ripcord to make it happen. And both are great. Both are great, especially if you're in water over your head. That self-inflating one is definitely the one I'm going to say you would definitely want.
You know, it is. Speaking with David A. Rose here, outdoor writer and fishing guide up in the Traverse City area here in Michigan. I like the self-inflating idea for one simple reason. Should you be rendered unconscious on your way out of the boat, which is entirely possible and probably more possible than not, it will activate for you. And, you know, that is a huge, huge thing.
Oh, yeah. I watched a couple of videos. If you get on YouTube, of course, and stuff like that, you can see guys testing different inflatables. And they, I mean, the moment they jump off that dock and hit the water, of course, I mean, and they're jumping in hard, you know, your head's going to go under a little bit. And when they come up, it's not even two seconds later. They're up and that whole thing is inflated. And like you say, oh, yeah, slip and fall, unconscious, or just that water just so cold, it knocks you for a loop and your muscles get all tight.
Now, are these self-righting? They write you over to the right way so your head's face up and not down?
Yeah.
I know it sounds goofy.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be, imagine wearing, you know, the I call them old-fashioned, but the ones that have been around forever, the orange foam life jacket that, you know, it goes up and around. And when you're in there, it goes behind your head, too, so it's keeping your head facing upward and up out of the water and into the air and not down into the water. So if something like that did happen, I mean, obviously then, boom, you can still breathe. And, it's real important because especially if you're wearing waders, they can be pretty buoyant. Mm-hmm. Neoprene, number one, floats. Boot-foot waders, you got a lot of air in there, so that's acting almost like a life jacket or something like that, something to flotate. Since I've lost so much weight, I barely squeezed into, you know, big guy waders.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way water was getting down around my belly.
Right.
But I've lost so much weight and stuff like that, I now wear what I'll call the regular size waders, and there's room. And so I wear a wading belt as well to keep that water, if I do go in, from flowing in.
All right. David A. Rose is joining us here. We're going to talk more about the fishing end of things. Safety always important, so safety first, right? I'm Duran Martinez. You can find us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Download the podcast absolutely free. And that's courtesy of our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find them on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel its way.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Well, we're getting our podcast updated and our website updated and trying to keep up with things. And we will be putting on, Showspan has announced that their Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit will go on, but it's been pushed back a couple of months, the 25th through the 28th of March. Still going to be at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. And we will keep that up to date for you. Just follow us on the Facebook or on our website. Again, wildmichiganradio.com. Show Span saying that the Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit will be a couple of months later, but we'll be back. So hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed and make sure that that actually happens, because we got gypped on shows last year. That's all I'm going to say. That was the last show I went to in January. Then after that, everything just kind of went to hell in a handbasket. But our good friend David A. Rose joins us right now. The voice, the yep, Moses, sure, of the of the Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit. That release came out yesterday, David, and I'm very hopeful and optimistic for this show to come back. It's a very important show.
Yeah, there's a lot that can change, by the end of March and whatnot. And before that, the weekend before that, is the one still going on, the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids as well. And we'll see how things go. Outdoorama is also the end of February at the Suburban Collection Showplace. But, yeah, the Ultimate Sports Show and the Ultimate Fishing Show, they're pushing forward. They got a lot of they've been working hard to make sure everyone stays safe, even if we did have it in January, which obviously things have changed.
Well, you know, John Lokes, the man behind Celebration Cinemas and all the other cinemas that he owns, behind Showspan still?
Yeah.
Yep. That company has taken a hit last year. I mean, with all the movie theaters being closed and everything else. And my niece, my wife's niece, used to work for Celebration, and she said it's just been incredible, the hit that they've taken. But, hopefully we'll all bounce back from this thing.
Yeah, that's one of the businesses people don't think about, is these shows and stuff. And if everyone thinks, it's a multi-million-dollar making business, but it is a multi-million-dollar spending business as well. And huge buildings and, leasing this and doing that. And like you said, they are their sister company is movie theaters and IMAX theaters and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a tough one on them. And, of course, it hurts the smaller vendor guys and gals who really depend on, selling some of their wares at the shows, and then Canadian outfitters that can't even come across the border and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it was a big domino effect the minute that everything started closing down. The outdoors industry, real quickly, and then we'll get back to fishing, is not what everybody thinks it is. Just because there are like three or four networks and a lot of TV shows doesn't mean that industry is big. It is one of the smallest industries I've ever worked in my life. And believe me, everybody knows everybody, and it's very tough when things get shut down like this. So, but fortunately, because of social media, because of the digital technology we have, we're able to stay in touch with each other just on a virtual scale. Now, one thing that's not virtual is getting out into God's country and doing some fishing. And that's one of the things we had talked about. Winter steelhead is something that is really cool. Now, you had mentioned fishing with the harder tackle, with spoons and whatnot. Are they really eating as big as they were, say, in the fall?
Well, steelhead and trout in general, opportunistic feeders. We've all heard of that. And sometimes, how's this? I've asked a DNR biologist a couple times for different articles, what does a steelhead eat when they're in the river? What are they focused on? And it's like, everything. We don't know, and I've kept a couple steelhead in the past, and I always like checking their stomach, see what they've been eating. And I'm here to tell you, there's twigs in there. There's pebbles in there. There might be a berry that fell off a tree, and it didn't even know, because that water is moving pretty quick past them, 2-3 miles an hour going past their noggin, and they just see something go by. So, yeah, you're definitely going to want to slow it down, because freshwater fish, being cold-blooded, their body temperature is going to be the same temperature as the water. And just like humans, when we get cold, our muscles get kind of slow and stiff or whatnot, same thing's going to happen to a fish. So you're just trying to keep your presentation slow. So if you're casting, say, an inline spinner, cast slightly upstream and bring it in just barely fast enough that blade spins. It doesn't even have to spin hard. Don't go ripping it in, because fish aren't going to be able to chase it down. Not that they don't want to, but they can't. So, yeah, just like we slow down your presentation, because the fish have slowed down.
Now, so that tells me that you're not going to want anything like real heavy either, because, the current's got to carry it, and you've got to have that spinner going, but at the same time, you don't want it sinking to the bottom.
Oh, right. If there's one thing I can say about river fishing, is you can lose a lot of tackle. It's good for the industry. Everything from sinkers and hooks to whatever. And, what you're trying to do is, and again, the lure doesn't have to be right at bottom. Sometimes it can be a couple feet off bottom, because fish aren't always bellied up to the bottom, and they'll go up to hit something. So, you don't want like a a 1 ounce spinner that you would use, you know, casting off a pier or something like that to get it down. Definitely your normal, when I say normal spinners, a lot of great companies out there, you know, MEPS and Blue Fox and Rooster Tail and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of got it dialed in. I mean, obviously, that's all they've been doing for decades is making spinners, and they got them balanced out pretty well.
Now, one that I absolutely love is Panther Martin. That's just my favorite. I'm not endorsing them. But,
nope,
you know, I'm
nope,
not paid.
I forgot to say Panther. Sorry, Panther.
But that's all right. Panther Martin, the one spinner that I've caught everything, and I do mean everything, from steelhead to walleye to bluegill, on all on the same size, no less. So that's one of the beautiful things about that company is I'm not going to give away the color. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you one that I like. So I have to have a secret or two in my life. But what else is going on with you, David? I mean, it's been a very good year for you as far as physically. But have you gone out to do some fishing and enjoy the outdoors?
You know, I have. I've had a little extra time this year because I did not guide. Did not guide because my boat is just big enough to couldn't keep the 6 foot distance when running. And the way I fished the inland lakes, we're going to have to run side to side at times, so didn't do that. So I did get a little personal fishing in, did some brook trout and brown trout fishing in some of the small streams. And I'll tell you that it took a hard hit at that little trout fishery because there were a lot of people not working, and there was a lot of people fishing the same creeks I do. So it was noticeable. I didn't catch many when it came to the brookies and browns.
But still, you got out, which is awesome. You know, a lot more people got out this year. You know, we talked to Doug Roberts about deer hunting this year, and a lot more people getting out, but not as many people seeing things because of the weather and how things have shifted. But the weather's been pretty good for fishing this year.
Yep. No, it's been good. In fact, the last warm spell we had here, that first weekend of November, Buddy and I went up to the UP, camped, fished the surf of Lake Superior, caught several nice steelhead. And here it is, November whatever, 4th, 5th. I'm in my T-shirt standing in Lake Superior casting for steelhead.
That's awesome. And now it's December, and it's cold, but it's not snowing yet, I'm wondering how it's going to be for the ice this year, because we have a meteorologist, our good friend Andy Provenzano, saying, you know what, we're going to have like a La Nina year, which is going to say, you know, you're going to be cold, but you're not going to see as much snow.
Well, you know, a lack of snow can be actually very good for ice, because that doesn't mean it's not going to get below freezing.
Right.
So, as soon as it starts snowing, and, you know, I'm up here in the Traverse City area, and we get all that lake effect stuff all the time. In fact, we just had a lake effect band yesterday, but it's all melted by today. But you start, and that's an insulation. Think about your jacket. When you want to stay warm, you put a jacket on because you put a layer of something on. Well, same thing on ice. It waters a certain temperature. It could still, that cold sometimes just can't penetrate. So the more snow we have, a lot of times, the less actual ice we have. And so this could be an excellent year for ice fishing.
Well, hopefully it will be, because we've had Mark Martin on here talking about his fishing vacation schools for ice fishing. He's going to be up at Mullet Lake this year, Houghton Lake, and some other ones. It's all online, because I don't want to go saying places he's not going to be, but they are filling up fast. Same thing with our friend Ed Shaw over at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. These classes are filling up. And, you know, definitely a great time to get outdoors, and hopefully the same for you. And, you know, I can't wait, actually, to see people at shows this year, which my fingers are crossed. I'm being cautiously optimistic with this stuff. And, you know what? Yeah, okay, we'll be masked up, but you know what? We'll still be out, and that's what's important, and we'll do what we can.
Yep, a lot of elbow bumps will happen instead of handshakes. But
right. No, I'm good with that. We're all going to be Ian Anderson for a show or two. But,
yeah, there you go.
But dude, thank you as always. We appreciate you joining us. It's going to be a fun winter. I know it is.
Always. Go out and go ice fishing, go hunting, small game, do whatever. Just get outside.
And look for David's work. Look for David everywhere. Especially listen for David come showtime. So, dude, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you.
You got her. It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, thanks to our friends, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Also, Conquest Sense, Davison, Michigan, and our friends United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. Links all on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to you, especially the listener, for joining us for 14 years plus on the Michigan Talk Network.